Right. Is that better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're gonna talk about the study on influence of a random jitter to the MPC by timing budget, and there will be a kind of three sections. I'll do the intro, and then all the other RJ impacts and TX impairment study will be presented by Jingxian, and then. Finally, we're going to talk about the ADSA simulations. So this is the agenda. So first part and second part will be presented by Jingxian again, and then the last one I'll be presenting it. So before we start, let's just take a look. You know, what is a CPI physical layer overview? Many of you probably saw some of the CPI specification, and one of the very unique characteristic of CPI is having a one lane with a trio, right? So that means it's not a single-ended, it's not a differential. It is actually using the three wires to send the signals between the transmitter and receivers. So in between, as you can see, there is a channel. A channel may consist of several different structures, such as transmission lines, BS, and cables, and so on, which is the kind of main transmission media. But in terms of signaling, in terms of signaling again, it uses a three-phase signal, three wires as a group. One of the reasons why CPI used the three wires is because of higher a throughput, 2.28 times, generating the more bits, transmitted through the system. Right? Clocking, embedded clock, data rate. There are a different data rate, which is basically a symbol. The data rate based on the different channels. So for a short channel, 2.5 giga symbol per second. For the standard a channel will be a 1.7. For the long channel will be a 1.3. But with the different type of equalization, such as TX equalization and RX equalization, the speeds will be changing accordingly. So in terms of the equalization for TX, there is a dedicated advanced TX equalization for RX. Basically it is using the CTLE, which is a continuous time linear equalizer, right? So this sets up the kind of context for a more technical discussions followed by a Jingxian's presentation. There will be more talking about the RJ impact and TX impairments. And then I'll talk about the simulation a little bit later on.
Okay, thanks, Hazel. I'm Jingxian Liu, and I'm very happy to be here to present the study on the random jitter on CPI. And because, as Hazel just discussed, the CPI has very special signaling, which have many advantages. And at meantime, many of our previous understanding of the SerDes channel is slightly different on CPI. So in this presentation, we will discuss one of them, which is the jitter. We will focus on mainly on the random jitter. So this slide shows some different types of jitter in the CPI channel. We have the random jitter, RJ. Also, we have the deterministic jitter, which includes encoding jitter. This is a special jitter introduced by the CPI special encoding scheme, which we'll cover in the future slides in detail. And also they have the inter-symbol interference, the periodic jitter, clock duty cycle distortion, DCD, and et cetera. So first, also another special property of CPI is that in terms of the eye diagram, the CPI actually uses a triggered eye. So if you look at the eye diagram on the these two figures, on the left-hand side, this is traditional or non-trigger eye diagram. So basically, what it do is it will overlap the waveform every two UI over and over again and forms this non-trigger eye. But on the right-hand side, this is the CPI trigger eye. So it did slightly differently. So the C5 will have the embedded clock in the signals, and RX will do the clock recovery. And once the RX has the clock information, it will plot the 1.5 UI to the left-hand side of the trigger point, and will plot a half UI to the right-hand side of the trigger point. And it will repeat that for every trigger point. So that the C5, when we talk about the eye diagram, we actually refer to this triggered eye. And so also, as you can see in these two eye diagrams, since we don't have any RGA injected in the system, so you can see there are already some jitters in here. So the transitions are not on the same point. So this is the encoding jitter we talked in the previous slide. So that is introduced by the C5 encoding scheme. So for simplicity, at the first slide, we don't look at those encoding jitter. But what we first look at is only two transitions, which are the strong 0 to weak 1 to strong 0, and the strong 1 to weak 0 to strong 1. And the same for the triggered eye. So the reason we're looking at these two transitions is that these two transitions forms the inner contour of the eye diagram. And also these two transitions limits the eye width for the C5, both triggered and non-triggered eye. And the next slide is we're using the same schematic as the previous slide. And the only difference is that we inject 2 picosecond jitter to the system. So you can see that the two eye diagrams now have a smaller eye width. And also, if you look at these two transitions only, this transition point is not at fixed point. So for the non-triggered eye, these two transitions, actually, they have some random distributions on these two. And the same for the triggered eye. But also the difference is that for the triggered eye, since we always fix the trigger point at the same position, so that this one, it won't have a random distribution. It's at the same point. But the left-hand side, it's similar. It's a random distribution. And if we look at these two different scenarios, we have the one type of random distribution with the standard derivation of sigma 1. And this one, we have another random distribution with standard derivation of sigma 2. So essentially, this one is equal to the summation of these two. So mathematically, this sigma 2 squared is equal to 2 times of sigma 1 squared. So which is equivalent to square root of 2 of sigma 1. So this is a very interesting relation, as we will see in the next slide. So again, this is the same distributions of trigger, non-trigger and triggered eye. And so what we'll look at in this one is for this non-triggered eye, we will look at the eye width, RG impairment on the eye width, which is equal to W minus this W1, which is essentially this plus this one, is 14 sigma 1. So for the triggered eye, we also look at the RG impairment on the eye width, which is the W minus W2, which is 7.034 sigma 2. If you remember the relation we discussed in the last slide, this is equal to about 10 sigma 1. So if you compare these two, you can see that actually the RG impairment on the non-triggered eye is about 1.414 times of that of the triggered eye. So that this is a very nice property that the C5 triggered eye have a better tolerance on RG. So this is the first point we will talk about. And so far we only discussed the random jitter in terms of RJ only. We haven't involved any other type of jitters like the encoding jitter, inter-symbol interference, etc. But in the next few slides, we will look at some more comprehensive scenarios. Like for this one, instead of only looking at those two transitions, we take consideration of the encoding jitter also. So if you take a look at this one, so if we look at the encoding jitter probability density function, this is the PDF, looks like this for non-triggered eye, and this is the PDF for the triggered eye. And if we do take the convolution between the encoding jitter PDF and RG PDF, we end up with this combined jitter PDF. So which is essentially the like the crossing point or the jitter PDF of these two eye diagrams. So you can see that on the combined jitter PDF in these red boxes, the magnitude of the like the magnitude of this PDF is actually lower than that of the RJ. So which means that when RJ and C5 channel is combined with other different types of jitters like encoding jitter, the impact of RJ could be reduced. So yeah, this is the scenario for RJ with encoding jitter. And next slide, we make the situation more comprehensive. So now we cover RJ encoding jitter, inter-symbol interference, and RxCTLE. So this would be the jitter PDF with our encoding jitter ISIA plus CTLE, and we do the convolution with the RJ PDF, and we got this combined jitter PDF. Again, similarly to the previous slide, we can see that the combined jitter PDF, actually they have lower magnitude on the far side compared to the like the RJ alone. Especially for the like especially for the trigger eye, you can see because of those like smaller magnitude, after the convolution, we still have a relatively smaller magnitude on the far side, which means that the C5 channel, when the RJ combined to other types of jitters and other type of influences, the impact of RJ tends to be reduced. And so far we analyzed the RJ impact on C5 channel qualitatively. We see that the C5 trigger eye has better tolerance on RJ, and also when RJ combined with other types of jitters, the impact of RJ tends to reduce. Next, we will do some simulation result. We would do some simulations. We do some simulations to validate our previous derivations. So this is the schematic we use. We have a C5 TX, C5 RX, and a channel in between. So this is a short reference channel, and also we have capacitors on either side. The speed, we have the CTLE on RX, so that the speed for short reference channel can go up to 8 gig symbol per second. And we are using that 8 gig symbol rate to give the like the worst case scenario to do our investigations. And in the meantime, we add RJ at the TX side from 0 picosecond all the way to 7 picosecond. And we capture the triggered eye and non-triggered eye using our eye diagram and look at both the eye width and RJ impairment. As you can see, the first row, we don't have any RJ, it's 0, and we have the non-triggered eye width with equal to 77.5, and since there's no RJ, so no impairment, really. And for triggered eye, we have the 85.7 picosecond and also no RJ impairment. And after we add some random jitter to the TX, like 1 picosecond, we see that the eye width starts to decrease. It's to 72.3, and the RJ impairment is 5.2 sigma, which for this case is 5.2 picosecond. And also for triggered eye, it's decreasing and decreased by 3.6 sigma and 3.6 picosecond. And similar for the this row, we have 2 picosecond RJ, and wave is 67.4, and this is 5.1 sigma, like 10.2 picosecond, and 3.9, which is 7.8 picosecond, and et cetera. So if you take a look at these two rows on the table, you can see that the RJ impairment on the non-triggered eye is generally larger than that of the triggered eye. So if you remember the previous relation, that is a factor about 1.4 times between these two. So yeah, if you take a division between these two columns, this is about like 1.4 times relation between those two. So this validates the previous numbers. And also, if we look at the RJ only, like the only the two transitions we discussed before, so this number, because we're simulating 1 million beats, so on the bit error ratio of 10 to the minus 6, this number would be around like 9.5 sigma, and this would be around 6.7 sigma. But actually, this number is smaller, as we see in the numerical simulation results. so that the RG impact when combining with different like jitters and other effects tends to reduce in the C-Phi channel. So this is the situation for short channel. And next is the standard channel. So it's the same schematic as the previous slide. All we change is we change to the channel model to standard channel. And also, since we are using standard channel, so the like the higher limit of the frequency is reduced to 6 gig. And the same kind of table, we have the RG with different values. And also, you can see that the RG impairment on those two different columns, the overall, the non-triggered eye is larger than the triggered eye, and it's about 1.4 times difference. And also, it's smaller than the RG-only assumption. So next is the long channel. We change the channel model again. The speed is reduced to 4 gig, which is, again, the highest limit. And also, you can see that overall, the non-triggered RG impairment is larger than the triggered eye. It's 1.4 about relation between those two, and it's smaller than the RG-only case. So because we are investigating the RJ impact, so the RJ has intrinsic of randomness. So when you run different like roundup simulations, you might observe different results. So there might be some like numerical errors in different simulations, but if you look at the statistical overall result, that's quite agree with our previous conclusions. And So that's the study on the RG impact on C-Phi eye diagram. So two main takeaways. One is that the RG impact is, the RG tolerance on triggered eye is better than the non-triggered eye. And second, when RG combined with different other kind of jitters, it tends to reduce its impact. And next, we will look at, do some like TX impairment budget case studies with the emphasis on C-Phi. So the C-Phi spec gives the TX impairment 0.5 UI budget. So we want to see that with this 0.15 UI budget, how much random jitter can we like add it to the TX, but still satisfy this budget. So the first one, we're using similar schematics, short channel, 8 gig, which is the worst case scenario. And we only look at triggered eye in this case, and also different RG values. In this slide, we look at TX impairment in the unit of UI instead of sigma, so that it's easier to compare with the 0.5 UI. So you can see that in this case, which is the like a worst case scenario, we can have up to 4 picosecond RJ RMS, but still satisfy the 0.5 UI budget. And if you look at the eye diagram of this 4 picosecond scenario, this trigger eye diagram passes the prorated eye mask test, since we are running 1 million bits. And the next slide, we using the same schematic. The only change we made is we add 0.05 UI duty cycle distortion to the TX side, so that essentially we are removing like 1/3 of the 0.5 UI budget from the TX side. But although we remove that from our budget, we can still see that in this case, up to 3 picosecond RJ, we still have an eye diagram that passes the prorated eye mask, and TX impairment is 0.13. And next slide, we push this number to 0.1 UI DCD. So essentially, we're taking away like 2/3 of the budget. Still, the RJ could be tolerated until 2 picosecond. And also, you see the eye is still satisfy this prorated eye mask. This one, similarly, we're changing to standard channel. So the speed is reduced from 8 to 6 gig. And you see, because the symbol rate is reduced, we can tolerate up to 5 picosecond random jitter. And similarly, like you see, the eye is passed. So this is like pretty good tolerance. We take away 0.5 UI from the budget, and you see that we have 4 picosecond jitter that can be tolerated. And then now we take away like 1.1 UI, two-thirds of the budget, and then you see the 2 picosecond can be tolerated still. So that's the standard channel. So next we switch to the long channel. The speed is reduced to 4 gig. Again, those like 4 gig, 6 gig in the previous slide, those are also the upper limit for the each of the scenarios. So we are always looking at the worst case scenario. But you can see for this long channel case, the RJ can go up to 7 picosecond, but still satisfy this 0.5 UI budget and also the prorated eye mask testing. So you see that this in this long channel case, the RJ tolerance is pretty good. And again, we add 0.05 UI DCD, we take off some of the budget, still we can go up to 5 picosecond. We take away like 0.1 UI DCD, we can go up to 3 picosecond, still with the eye that passed the test. So you can see that the 0.5 UI TX impairment budget in terms of RJ is like quite tolerant value. So in fact, we could consider to like further reduce this budget, maybe 2.1 or some other value. But yeah, overall, since the C5 channel has very good property to tolerate the random jitter, so yeah, that's some like very good properties for C5. Yeah, so that's the content I'll talk about. Next, I'll give to Heisu to discuss the C5 physical ear simulation.
You finished all it. Now, before I go on the simulation solution, I'd like to ask a question. How many of you actually design CPI here? Okay, all right. So when you design the CPI, do you even simulate it? Anybody who simulates extensively? Okay. No one. All right, so I know why. It's because running the simulation for CPI is not that easy, as of today. One of the reasons is because there are multiple challenges. Starting with the transmitter and receivers, right? If you look at the transmitter receivers, you have to monitor because it's not a single-ended transmitter nor a differential transmitter because it specifically uses a specially designed three-wire system. So it's not falling into the other kind of standards. Although it has a really great advantage, such as a higher data throughput, but it comes with its own challenges. Therefore, the complicated transmitter and receiver modeling process, along with some of the equalizations that may require some of the signal processing, such as DSP. So we really need a simple transmitter and receiver motors that helps design engineers going for the simulation a lot easier and simpler. Due to that type of complexity, as you can imagine, there is no single design platform that allows design engineers go and then just run the simulations for their design. That also requires a lot of customization. For example, you gotta use the very log to model the certain part of the design, which is making a design engineers pretty difficult to go for any of simulations. Top of it, limited jitter analysis. We spent quite a time to talk about RJ and clock DCD as well as the periodic jitter. But running the simulation on those type of jitter is very, very limited as of today's solution. So we really need to have the full support on RJ, PJ, and clock DCD, which are the kind of jitter specified in the specification. That's one of the other challenges related to the CPI simulations. When I looked into other AE people who are designing the CPI, especially from the chip A vendors in a standpoint, I found that they are using the SPICE-alike A simulator. As you could imagine, SPICE-alike means actually stepping through a very small time segment and running the voltage and current related simulations. That's basically how the SPICE simulator works. But thinking about millions of bits, you cannot run a SPICE-like simulations with that type of designs anymore. Therefore, there has to be some simulation that allow user to go for millions of bits, which is more like a channel sim technologies. The other thing was a triggered or non-triggered. Jingxuan talked about the benefit of triggered eye with his RJ and TX impairment study. We really need to support the triggered eye to simulate the CPI physical layers. So these were a kind of challenges a lot of CPI design engineers had in the past. But moving forward, Keysight actually spent quite a time to develop its own unique CPI solution. That's what actually Jingxuan used for his study extensively to come up with all the great data what he presented in today's presentation. So let's go into a little bit more detail on what we have done. So we created we created a dedicated CPI transmitter and receiver, as well as the eye probe that comes with the triggered eye capability, right? That was important thing what we have done. So if you look at this schematic itself, this is, ADS schematic. There is a transmitter that is represented by one single CPI transmitter, and also we have a dedicated receiver. And this receiver connects to iProbe, where we can measure all the CPI waveform signals coming out from the receiver. So these three things are a special components we developed to support the CPI design engineers. In ADS environment, we have multiple different simulation technologies, including the SPICE-alike simulator, we call it a transient simulator. However, we also have the channel sim. Channel sim has the advantage against the SPICE-like simulator, is because it allows user to run the millions of bits of simulations in a minute, right? So this the specialized CPI transmitter and receiver that actually works for both engines. If you want to run channel sim to go for millions of bits to understand the more of random jitter characteristic better, then you can just enable a channel sim and go for it. But if you want to really like to see time domain related simulation results, then you can go and then disable and enable this one and just run the simulations. You're gonna get the pretty much same result between the two. The only difference, as I mentioned from the previous slide, when you go with a transient, you will be limited with probably thousands of bits, nothing more than that, because it just takes so long to get the simulation done. However, when you switch it to the channel sim again, you will be able to run the simulations millions of bits within the minutes range, which is giving the more insight to the design. So that's another thing what we have done. And third thing, we put the equalization into the transmitter and receiver. Advanced TX equalization specified in CPI. That is part of the transmitter, but also the recent specification 2.0 specifies the CTLE with the receiver that is also part of the receiver in ADAS environment. So you can apply the TXEQ along with the CTLE to the design. Going into a little bit more detail, when you open up the CPI TX, these will be the kind of window what you're going to see. It's tab-driven, so you can actually click through the different page to set up the different properties of the signal. For example, starting with a waveform, you can set up the V-mid, V-high, V-low, and also you can make the different shaping of the waveform by specifying what type of edges you're going to have. For example, raised cosine or straight a linear. You can set all waveform-related parameters in this tab window. If you'd like to go with the equalization, TXEQ, setting up the other EQ, the M1 plus and those values, you can switch it to the other second tab and then being able to set up the other those values. And electrical and jitters, jitter, and we talked about RJ, PJ, as well as the clock DCD. This is the window where you will be able to set the other those values up. So it's very simple. You just open up and assign the proper A values to all of these entries that will be generating the very unique CPI A signal to the channel, right? Looking into the RX, this is another special thing what we have done with the latest release of ADS, which was a 2020 July version. We put actually the CTLE equalizer. So when you go and then open up the receiver and go and then enable the CTLE equalizer, then it pops up this window where you can see transfer functions of CTLE and the poles and zeros and DC gain all in one single window. Interestingly enough, when you go and then select this preset, which is the list of different standard CTLE values, we even now show you all the CPI-related CTLE values. So you can go and then pick up whatever you want and apply that much of CTLE to your design. That's simple. In order to process all the special information of CPI, we had to develop the special iProbe, which was done more like a year ago. So now we have the special iProbe, not only differentials, single-ended, but also three-wire CPI special iProbe. So when you open that up, you will be able to see this CPI-related specification, the characteristics. Down there, you're going to see the trigger die. If you want to see your iData coming from the CPI receiver without having the trigger, then you can just turn that up. Then you will be able to see the result. When you turn that on, you'll be able to see the trigger die. That's what Qingxian was able to compare triggered and non-triggered in the same plot without having the much of trouble. Not only having the iData, but also you'll be able to see the eye height and width, UI jitter, average UI, minimum UI, mask violation, recovered clock. All of data will be produced throughout this eye probe. And last thing, I want to just make the other one comment, not only a CPI. We especially spend a lot of time on CPI because CPI is special. But DPI, MPI, the other physical layers are pretty much a standard using the other pretty much a single-ended or differential. But with respect to the other DPI, which are another a physical layer standard used for CSI or DSI, we put the other special iProbe that was designed for a DPI application. We call it a smart iProbe. This smart iProbe actually scales to support the multi-lane. Like a DPI, to get the max throughput, you can go up to the other four lanes. You can actually scale number of the other lanes with the iProbe by just typing the number of channels. And also, if we put the special the parameter called a triggered function. When triggered function is enabled, actually opens up the clock pin, so that you can connect this clock pin to take the all the clock signal and being able to plot the iData based on the trigger points. That's what we specially designed for ADPI applications. So here is the other one example that shows the clock lane data rain connects to the loads. This one basically scaled with the four lanes at the same time. But we are picking up the other one from the clock lane and connecting to this clock pin. Then the results from it will be a more like a triggered IADPI or iData, right? So this was the kind of last thing we have put into ADS to support the MIPI, especially related to the CSI and DSI that interfaces, so that people can go easy on the DPI and CPI, any of physical layer simulations for their design. All right, so here's the summary. We talked about the RJ random jitter impacts, as well as we talked about the TXA impairments. As Junxian talked about, having the triggered eye diagram has good tolerance on a random jitter. So as he discussed, it's better to go with the triggered because it allows us to have the bigger eye. An impact of RJ on triggered eye width tends to reduce when combined with encoding a jitter and ISI. That was the other kind of proven data with the other some of a slide what Junxian showed during his presentation. And the kind of given specification coming from the CPI spec, maintaining the 0.15 UI TX impairment budget, that could be reduced based on the real simulation and analysis data, what we have done for this study, which was the one we presented in today's presentation. So that's the kind of summary of our presentation. Any questions?
All right, do we have any questions for Hisu or Junxian? Any questions? How is a CPHI triggered eye diagram different from a standard differential eye diagram in regards to phase jitter?
Okay, that's a good question. Junxian, can you?
Yeah, the CPHI triggered eye is special. It's a special one in several different aspects. First is that since CPHI is a three-wire system, so that when we plot the eye diagram, we actually took all the waveform from all three pins, so that you see one eye diagram, but actually has an overlap of the all three signals. So that's the one difference from CPHI to other types of eye diagrams. The second one is the triggered eye, since CPHI has the embedded clock, so that the RX will have the clock recovery function first, then we will plot the eye diagram according to the recovered clock tick point values. So that's another special on the CPHI triggered eye.
When you when you're looking at the eye diagram, is there a special mask that you're looking at that's different than? I mean, I'm used to looking at a normal eye diagram that's got a mask that we're looking at. Now that we're looking at three wires, we've got kind of three different states. Are we looking at an eye diagram previous, an eye diagram?
Yes.
Or a mask, I'm sorry.
Yes, so I did not go to details for the CPHI encoding or signaling, but actually CPHI is different from PAM4. The eye looks similar, but actually when we do the eye measurement or the eye mask measurement is quite different from PAM4. So we only look at the center eye opening instead of looking at all the three eye opening. So yeah, as long as the center one opens for CPHI, that is good enough because the CPHI don't actually differentiate the strong zero from weak zero and strong one from weak one. So that's a big advantage.
Okay. Any other questions from the audience? All right. Thank you guys very much.
All right.
Let's give them a round of applause. be careful, falling off the stage.